All right, welcome back to Lacrosse Talk PM. U.S. Congressman Ron Kind representing our third congressional district. I was got a double take. Is that right? It's the third district, Ron?
It is the third district. Okay. And thanks for having me on, Rick. I hope everyone is staying safe and healthy out there.
Yeah, just right off the bat, what did you think of the Supreme Court ruling that opened Wisconsin back up? A little bit strange the way that all that went down.
Well, what I was hoping was that the political leadership in the state now, the governor along with the Republican leaders, would get together to put forward a plan that people can rely upon, that can gradually reopen our state's economy, but do it in a safe and healthy manner. And right now there's no guidance out there. It's just the wild, wild west. My phone's been ringing off the hook from families to businesses alike saying, what do we do now? What's the responsible thing to do? And so if the Republicans were moving forward to shoot down with the governor's plan, they at least needed to offer a plan B, and they don't have one. And so right now it's pretty much chaos running things. And I just fear that we could see a snapback with this virus, which wouldn't be good. And then it just delays the reopening even further.
Tomorrow you're having a virtual roundtable with Joe Biden. From what I've read, it says you're going to talk about rural issues in La Crosse, and that's going to happen at 10 a.m. It says Joe's going to do this from his home in Delaware. So are you doing this from your home in La Crosse?
Yeah, it's a virtual town hall meeting. And unfortunately, with the social distancing, as much as Joe Biden wants to be out pressing the flesh and meeting with people, it's just not responsible. And so the next best thing, and we're probably going to see a lot of the virtual campaigning during the season, is the virtual town hall. And we're going to talk about rural economic development issues, what type of investments we need to be making in family farmers and in rural communities. But more importantly, the broader vision of rebuilding America as we come out of this global pandemic, and what steps we ought to be working on together to make America stronger and more resilient and address the economic inequities that are very apparent as we go through all this. And Joe's got a plan to do that. He's got a vision of how we can emerge stronger, better, more competitive than ever before. And it's exactly what our country needs right now.
Now, you guys just passed the HEROES Act in Congress. Hard to say if it will pass in the Senate. But, what would you say were the biggest things that you liked from the HEROES Act and maybe the things that you didn't like that passed?
Well, first of all, we did pass the HEROES Act out of the House Friday as a point of negotiation. Obviously, the Senate's not going to take up the same package, the White House neither, but we need to start this conversation now because more help is needed, starting with state and local government budgets that have plummeted because of the economic coma. If they have to start canceling essential programs and services, that would really be detrimental to our state's economy. So they're going to need some help in the short term to pay for their firefighters and police officers and sheriff's departments and everything else that they're expected to do that we take for granted. And right now, a $900 million shortfall for the state budget alone. So we need some short-term help there. And then we made some fixes to the Paycheck Protection Program for small businesses, giving them more flexibility in order to use the money. And I think that was important, listening to them and the feedback they were giving us. Plus some more stimulus rebate help for families, because clearly we're not going to be bouncing back quickly, and people still need to pay for food and their rent and their mortgages and everything else. So again, another interim measure to build that bridge for when it is safe to completely open the economy up again. And it's not going to be anytime soon, unfortunately, because the virus is still around, highly contagious, still very dangerous. And until we develop a long-term vaccine to inoculate people, we've got to do this very smartly and in response to what people need.
Yeah, the $1,200 check that most of us or some of us, I'm not even sure, I didn't receive a $1,200 check, from a month ago. I started to do it on irs.gov, and then I just kind of got sidetracked trying to input all my info. But anyway, so Grant Bills, who was on the show with us the last couple of weeks, he's a college student. His parents claim him, I think, when they do their taxes. So he falls into this like loophole where he doesn't get a stimulus check, a $1,200 check, where, if between me and Grant, I think Grant would probably need it more than I, because my job hasn't done, nothing's changed with my job. So I don't know. Is there a change here where people like Grant, college kids who are claimed by their parents that are over that age limit? I think I can't remember what the age limit is. If you're over, what, 17 or something, you don't get a $1,200 check?
Right, yeah. All that was fixed in the HEROES Act. Obviously, there were anomalies in the first rebate check. Those kids that were claimed on their parents as dependents didn't qualify. We're fixing it under the HEROES Act. Along with those young adults, 17, 18-year-olds, for whatever reason, didn't qualify either the first go-around. We fixed that in the HEROES Act. Because, boy, they really do need help right now. Summer jobs have dried up because of the social distancing and the lack of hiring. And so if any category really needs some additional help, it's them. And that was all fixed in the HEROES Act on Friday. Hopefully it's one of those provisions that will be kept in a final agreement with the Senate and with the president.
I don't know if it's this simple, but we're months into this thing, but I've heard talk of doing a stimulus check where it's like $2,000 a month, and then you do like a rent mortgage freeze. And, you know, so like small businesses that have to pay, you know, and if we're giving everybody $2,000 a month, then somebody that owns a small business doesn't have to worry about his workers, you know, getting by. $2,000 a month is certainly better than $1,200 a month, which is the equivalent of minimum wage, you know, at 40 hours for a month. I don't know. Do you guys talk about that? Why isn't that ever just like something like that get passed in the House?
Well, listen, there's two things here. Gradually reopening the businesses is one step, doing it safely so the workers are protected, so customers are protected when they go out. But there also has to be a demand for the product, too. And if people are home, they haven't been working, they don't have any money, you know, this economy is not going to bounce back that quickly because of lack of purchasing power. And when two-thirds of the U.S. economy is consumer-driven, when you've got a huge drop in purchasing power, it's just going to prolong the economic suffering. And that's why we, in the HEROES Act, we're doing another round of rebate checks, make sure that people did have disposable income to pay for rent and food and other items that they might need, including supporting small businesses in their community. Otherwise, it's just going to be a very long and painful recovery for everyone.
Is this going to be a big talking point tomorrow with the Biden town hall, or do you guys anticipate talking more about something more specific to the La Crosse area?
Well, it's going to be about rural economic development and Joe Biden's plan to revitalize rural America. But obviously, we're going to be talking about the global pandemic right now and our response to it. And the fact that here we are 5 months now after the virus found its way on our shore, and we still lack a national strategic plan or vision of how we can work with states and local governments in a true partnership, which is lacking right now. And I tell you, Rick, that's what I hear most of all from people is they want a strong partnership at the federal, state, and local level. And for whatever reason, President Trump is taking himself off the field, and he's just throwing it all back into state and local communities' laps, and even individual business now, to make it up on their own, to try to figure this out on their own. And that's not going to address the comprehensive testing that we still need, the comprehensive tracing we need, the personal protection equipment shortages that are still out there, and also the need to develop a safe vaccine and then a global distribution network in order to inoculate people. And that lack of vision is really holding us back right now. And Joe Biden's going to be talking about his COVID plan and how the federal government would act as a true partner with truth and the best medical and scientific guidance as his guide, rather than political spin and putting his ego in the middle of everything, which is exactly not the type of leadership we need right now.
Yeah, it seems like we jump around from, you know, like the Trump used the Defense Act to open up meat processing plants, but we don't use the Defense Act to, you know, create this, you know, supply chain to get our workers. Why, like, what's the reasoning behind that?
Well, again, under the HEROES Act, we require that the Trump administration come up with a national strategy to get us through the COVID crisis by developing a testing, tracing, treatment plan, working with state and local governments, something that we still lack today. And therefore, it's a free-for-all. We've got 50 governors trying to outbid each other with crucial supplies, driving the price up when their budgets are collapsing now. This is no way to deal with a pandemic on our shores when we all need to be in this together and leveraging the purchasing power of the federal government and also collecting all the data from all 50 states so we know where there are shortages, where we know there are flare-ups, and what role the federal government can provide help to the states and local governments to respond to all of this. And it's amazing to me that President Trump is just punting. And I think he's doing it because he doesn't want to take any type of responsibility. But, boy, it's patently unfair to the states and to local officials who have been collaborating, who have been working together, trying to figure this out. And all they want right now, they tell me, is just a strong federal partner that they can work with to address some of the shortfalls and the lack of equipment that they need.
We're talking with U.S. Congressman Ron Kind, who represents the 3rd Congressional District, including La Crosse. How did the Joe Biden town hall that's going to happen? It's going to happen tomorrow at 10 a.m. and anyone can and go log on and listen. How did that come about? Did Joe call you and be like, hey, Ron, we gotta do this? Or do you call him? How does that work?
No, you know, I obviously have been in touch with the campaign, and he's trying to figure out ways of how we can reach out and get feedback from people here in Wisconsin and engage them. And so, you know, we had talked a few weeks ago about setting up a virtual town hall, which he was excited to do, and he'll do a later one, too, in the eastern part of the state. But he's been doing quite a few of these, as he should. And it's a way for him to stay connected without having to be there in person and encourage large crowds gathering, which obviously we're trying to avoid right now. So it's an opportunity for him to get feedback, but also for him to lay out his vision of how we can revitalize rural Wisconsin, how we can get through this pandemic and have a vision for making America stronger and rebuild this country again, which is what we need to be thinking and talking about right now rather than waiting much later.
Now, some of the stuff in the HEROES Act, your opponent come November, Derek Van Orden, I call him Hollywood because he was in the movie Act of Valor. So I call him Hollywood Van Orden, but no, I'm just kidding. So he put out a press release today that said the left-wing wish list HEROES Act was ramrodded through by Nancy Pelosi and Ron Kind May 15th, showing once again how out of touch Kind is with the 3rd Congressional District. Some of this stuff, I don't know, it was a press release. So when you see a press release like this, and I've seen it from other Republicans kind of similar, what's your response to, ramrodded with Nancy Pelosi? Like, she's the House leader. Like, why wouldn't you guys agree on some of this stuff?
Well, this is just classic partisan talking points that they send out to everyone. And by the way, there are other opponents of mine, too. So you may not be the one I ultimately face in the fall. But listen, what we worked on in the HEROES Act was in direct response to the need we heard from state and local governments and even the private sector by listening to them and what assistance they need further help with. And most of these measures were bipartisan in the past, amplifying what we passed in two previous bills that came out of Washington with wide bipartisan support. But for whatever reason, my Republican colleagues just want to hit the brakes on everything. They just want to stop and freeze. And I think that'd be a huge mistake right now when there's so much damage being done to our economy, when there's still so many shortfalls in the healthcare system, where our healthcare providers are screaming for help and guidance on how to keep people safe. And yet, for whatever reason, they just want to freeze and do nothing, which was a huge mistake during the height of the Great Depression when there was no response at the federal or state level to help with the economic crisis. And because of it, it was much more prolonged than it needed to be, and there was much more pain and suffering that came from it. And quite frankly, it's contrary to what the chairman of the Federal Reserve, Chairman Powell, says, where Congress is going to need to continue to provide some short-term economic help in order to minimize the economic damage so we are stronger as we emerge from this. But apparently, many of my colleagues are hearing something completely different and refusing to take any action right now, when we see state and local government budgets completely collapsing, and this will jeopardize basic services and first responder services if we allow that to continue.
I got a text here that asks, this is the third, right? The HEROES Act's the third bill that's
right,
kind of going, and it hasn't been passed yet, but it would be the third.
No.
And we're in the trillions, right? 5-6 trillion, is that where we're at about?
We're about $3 trillion right
okay.
now. Yeah.
Okay, the text says $6 trillion. So, all right, we're at $3 trillion, texter. And, he asked, Rick, please ask him, how are we going to pay for this? And before you can answer that however you want, but I feel like, we never ask this question with other things that we do, when it comes to our overseas adventures with the military or just our military budget in general. So I don't know, like, is there a plan to, what do you say when someone asks you, how do we pay for this?
Well, Well, first of all, it is a legitimate concern, and we all need to be, us policymakers need to be thinking about what the long-term strategy is to get our fiscal health put back in order. And that's why I've been such a fiscal conservative, especially, Rick, when the sun is shining. Over the last few years, I've been opposing increasing in spending, tax cuts that weren't paid for, that weren't fully offset in the budget. And that's how you get to balanced budgets again, is by practicing pay-as-you-go budgeting rules. That is, if you're offering a tax cut or a spending increase, you got to find an offset in the budget to pay for it to keep balance. And then with the economy growing, you can ultimately reach surpluses then where you're paying down the national debt. Unfortunately, not many of my colleagues were following my example in recent years. In fact, they recently passed a $2.4 trillion tax cut where 83% of it went to multinational corporations and the wealthiest 1%. None of that was paid for. None of it was offset. That's almost the total amount of spending that we've passed in Congress in response to the COVID crisis right now. And yet no one was worried about how we were going to pay for a $2.4 trillion tax cut back then. I was, and I was raising the alarm. And that's when the economy was growing, and it was still relatively healthy. That's the time when you have to address budget shortfalls, not when the roof is caving in and people are dying at your doorstep and they need help in order to overcome a global pandemic. But I've been a part of a bipartisan group having discussions already about what a longer-term fiscal plan would look like as we emerge from this so we don't leave a legacy of debt to our children and grandchildren, which I think would be very unfair.
All right. U.S. Congressman Ron Kind, representing La Crosse District, 3rd Congressional District. Thanks for joining me. I still say $2,000 checks to everybody throughout the pandemic. It would be the best idea.
But. All right. It's noted, Rick. I appreciate your feedback.
All right. Thanks for joining us.
You bet. Thanks.
All right. We're going to break now for Scott's Common the News after this right here on Wisdom.